helping you.
You know, I really did that.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
You know, I really did that.
Did anyone ever tell you you're a moron?
You know, I really did that.
Listen, Sheriff, I'm really sorry to have awoken you from your slumber, but it's over. There's a time now. You shut me down.
I offered you a chance when we could have done something, and you blew it!
You know, I really did that.
You, sir, are an idiot.
You know, I really did that.
Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
You know, I really did that.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Yeah, the words of our illustrious general manager.
You know, I really did that.
Hello, Robbie. He's a great man. How are you boys doing today?
Good.
Good.
Good
afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hainline and all the ships at sea. If you doubt that they be radio gods, look, for they make the blind see.
I can see
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie.
Right, you can see now.
Yeah, very coincidental.
Yes.
You can see when naked girls are coming in.
Of course.
Hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast to Nationwide. Still via that good one, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, right here. That's why every day we insist on calling it your Cotton Pick and Dynamite show.
I'm in the mood for a show.
What's that smell, Ken?
You know, I really did that.
That's the smell of radio station WJFK, our home station. And, of course, the great communicator, Ken Stevens.
You know, I really did that.
He's the general manager here. And the program director, well, he's no better, Jeremy Coleman. Little Jeremy Coleman.
Little Jeremy.
As we speak now, he's rolling himself in a ball in the fetal position underneath his desk. The guy that runs everything, Big Daddy Mel. Love you, Big Daddy Buddha Mel.
Yeah.
Ruling the world from New York City. And, of course, our agent, Junior Soprano. There is your chain of command. Word of advice now to you soccer moms. Please take Junior Missy with them away to the back of the minivan because, look, I have just whipped it out.
Look at those multicolored parrots all over it.
And he has something he wants to say to you. Listen carefully. It's a message.
You know, I really did that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. One of the perfectly executed is big time. Major Market Radio Show, Arbitron rated strong with 5 million national listeners.
Oh, yes.
We're pretty jacked about that. We humbly thank you for your patronage. Today is the 11th of August.
Yeah.
And our phone number remains 1-800-636-1067. And yes, you know, it was a nice show yesterday, Buzz, but we all knew that you could see the whole damn time. There is our friend, Guy J. Elson.
Nobody fakes it better, huh? Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Well, yesterday, for goodness sakes, he was in here wishing he had a cane and a can full of pencils, right? And look at him now.
He's 100%.
Well, I'd say 97%.
Really?
Oh, come on, Buzz.
Your eyes are still, things are still a little blurry. I was a little sensitive to the light, but I think I'm getting past that. Now I have the lights dimmed a little bit today, but that could have something to do with the three-girl show.
Yes, he has his lights set on stripper right now.
Yes, the stripper motif.
He doesn't have the highlight that he normally has. You know, the light that they keep your fries under at McDonald's?
Absolutely. Right. No, he's got it all dim so he can see all the goings-on.
Yeah, he's got the bedroom light set down. Well, Buzz, glad that you're with us, although I got to say, we really enjoyed having you be blind for a day on yesterday's show.
It was pretty exciting. It really was.
It was unique. I'm not eager to do it again. I personally enjoyed when Rob was actually reading the actualities from the news.
That was wonderful. Nice.
Instead of having a tape of a guy saying something, Rob would just pop his big head in there and say it himself.
Did you ever find your cream, your cortisone cream, that the doctor, you didn't do it?
I did. No,
did
I want to thank Dr. Fran, who was here yesterday.
Right.
And she gave me a prescription for like a steroid cream that I've been putting in my eyes.
And has it worked?
It has worked very well.
Uh-huh.
Look at how big and strong it is with this steroid cream. I'd just like to point out that is a doctor that Mike and I picked out for you.
Absolutely.
That's right.
The dermatologist. Just for my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I heard your snide remarks. when I was saying, you know, Mike and I found you the doctor, where's the thank you? And Buzz would say, yes, thank you for finding me a dermatologist for my eyes.
That's right.
Well, apparently her patients get that same gunk in their eyes, and so she's treated this before. Ah, so in a way, you owe your eyesight to me and Mike.
That's true, but then I owe everything to you.
There you go. Good
thank
answer.
You, Buzz.
That is the right answer. Well, we're glad that you're well, Buzz.
I'm glad to be well. Thank you.
Glad that you're with us. Oh, listen, got a big show today.
Yes.
As we've mentioned, the nudes and everything, but a new sponsor that we want to make sure we highlight right here at the beginning part of the show. This portion of the Don and Mike show is brought to you by the Ken Stevens Management Tapes.
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar is now available through audio tape.
No, I don't say.
Successful radio management doesn't happen by accident. It happens with solid training.
I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement. No.
With 10 states, you'll develop skills in crisis management.
Because that's why I asked you in the first place.
Enhanced memory skills.
I don't remember, but it's certainly possible.
And the all-important art of decision-making.
Can I think about it?
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar. Get yours today.
Is it Monday?
And start managing.
You know, I really
did that. This portion of the show brought to you by the Ken Stevens Management Tapes.
Yeah, if you want to go into management, you'll need these tapes.
And I think you'll find that they're sponsoring a large portion of the show today.
Great.
And we will at some point check in with the namesake of that fine product during today's show and find out
what he's
got to say for himself.
Our budget doctor is online. Dr. Fran.
Dr. Fran.
Did I tell you or what?
You told me, Dr. Fran.
Dr. Fran,
Buzz doubted, not me and Mike. We knew you had the right stuff.
You think I didn't hear that Dr. C stuff?
I'll tell you right now, Dr. Fran, we believe in you.
There you go.
I can see.
Another successful, happy patient.
Doctor, did you get my message? I tried to phone in a thank you message to your office this morning.
No, thank you. No, I didn't get it. Thank you.
I phoned it into your receptionist. I tried to call the fake number you scribbled on your card for your car phone, and I couldn't get through, so I called your office
instead.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Francie.
Rotter.
Yes,
Dr.
Francie Rotter.
She is marvelous.
Thank you, Don.
Bye, Don.
Thank you. You see, the show actually did something good yesterday. We had a member of the team who was ill, and the doctor, she cured him.
She is wonderful.
Team doctor.
She's very fancy.
Aggressive doctor.
She aggressively treated your eye.
She did.
She sure did. Look at that. You can see now yesterday. You should have seen the pathetic sight as we were walking out of the building yesterday. When Buzz's wife came over to get him, and
she grabbed him by the elbow to lead him into the car.
Buzz pulled his arm away, and he says, "Woman, I can get in the car myself."
Never.
And he didn't want to be amazed. In front of your friends.
Emasculated, but that too.
But you knew what I meant.
Right. I'll tell you right now, it was a pathetic sight to see as you were leaving with your little round Christmas story glasses, you know, like what?
Ralphie's glasses.
Pathetic, but touching, I thought, of course.
Well, so glad that you're okay, Buzz.
Yeah.
The charade is over. Buzz can see. On with the show. Well, I know you're wondering why I have that special glow today.
Why do you have that special glow today?
Well, because I was privileged today, before the show, to spend 6 hours in an automobile with Charles Broyhill, our producer.
Oh, that's right. You boys went up to the Redskins training camp for the big pregame show.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was going to work out that way.
Right.
That I was going to actually drive with Charlie all the way to Redskins training camp.
You driving Charlie's vehicle or your vehicle?
My vehicle.
Your vehicle.
Charlie said to me, it's about 2.5 hours up to Redskins training camp. Redskins season starts Friday.
Right.
I'm so jacked to be back as the host of the Redskins pregame show on the Redskins Radio Network, so we had to go up there and do all the interviews. So Broyhill says we should probably leave about 7:30.
Right.
I thought, fine, I'll wait for the directions. And then he called me last night and said, you know what? I'll just be at your house. I'll see you at 7:30.
Okay.
And I said, great. I figured I would just follow the guy up, you know.
Right. Go in tandem.
He knows I'm not the best at directions. If he wants to lead me up there, that's fine. I can just, you know, put her on cruise control and just not worry about him. Well, imagine my surprise when I see him walking up the driveway with his big satchel full of radio stuff and his big bottles of water.
Getting ready to hop in your car.
He says, let's go. So at that point, you know, I can't say, hey, I thought we were taking two cars.
No, you're ready. And, you know, he has that way about him where you don't want to say, you know, get back in your own car.
Now, listen, it's a tough time anyway communicating with Charles Broyhill.
Was there a lengthy conversation on the way up to Frostburg?
Well, you know, the early morning drive up
is
where the conversation was really the worst. That's where it was pain conversation. He didn't like my choice in radio stations. I flip around a lot. I listen to everything on the radio. A
series of clicks and grunts, you know, showing his dismay.
And he's got this thing with his telephone. He carries his cell phone all the time, as many young urban professionals do.
Right.
But he's got this gizmo where he puts an earpiece in one of his ears, and he has a very tiny microphone that he clips to his shirt.
Right.
So we would be driving along many times, great period, 20, 30 miles silence.
Sure.
Driving along in silence, and all of a sudden I hear him go,
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I have to call you. And I look at him. Are you talking to me? He put the hand up.
Like, yeah, he loves doing that. Or the finger, you know.
Wait a minute.
And I said, what? Are you talking to me? Again, it's talk to the hand. And then I realized the guy's having his phone conversation.
And he is such a, you know, he lives in a world of secrecy. And he's so secretive that he actually has that little phone that rings without anybody knowing.
Right.
So
right.
He all of a sudden.
Because it just rings in his earpiece
right.
that he wears.
And he loves the fact that nobody knows that he's talking on the phone. And then, you know, then when you speak to him, what's going on? No.
Can I talk to you now?
That's your secret conversation.
Can't speak to you. So we made it up there. He chastised me a little bit because he didn't make it up there as fast as he had made it
right
the previous weekend.
Huh.
But he did point out all of the scenic sights to see on the way up, like a
beautiful Frostburg, Maryland.
One spot where apparently there's a big man-made crack in the middle of one of these mountains up there.
Wonderful.
And they've actually made some kind of a tourist stop out of it. So he, you know,
man-made crack.
Pointed it out to me as we were driving by. And
that's the famous Western Maryland man-made crack.
The drive was pretty tedious getting up there.
Sure.
And I realized about 2 hours into the drive up there that I was doing to him what my kid does to me all the time. But I would say to him, really, Charlie, how much longer until we get there?
Right.
I thought you said it was 2 hours. How much longer until we get there?
Ooh, that's tough. And I know when you're in that mode, that's not a good mode to be in.
And he, of course, is uncommunicative.
Right.
I mean, doesn't want to tell me
sure.
that it's 30 minutes away or 20 minutes away. He just looks at me and goes, well, you're driving.
Yeah, okay.
We'll be there.
Come
that's
on.
Fine.
We're good.
There. But we got up there.
Right.
Nothing cooler than being around a pro football team.
Right.
When they're practicing. And because we're doing the pregame show, we got to walk right out on the field
mm-hmm.
and see the big sweaty football players and hear them dropping the F-bomb
well,
and dropping the S-bomb.
Bet they were sweaty today, hot up there.
It was surprisingly cool up there.
Oh, was it really?
It was nice. About 75 today, and I got to give a shout-out to the Redskins' new management team up there.
Yes.
Oh, they treated us great. It was so fantastic. For a change, radio got precedence over television.
There
right?
you go.
I was waiting to do some interviews, and I saw a bunch of guys that we know, like Wally Bruckner from Channel 4.
All right, weekend sports guy.
Chick Hernandez from Channel 5.
Chick's a good guy.
And they were all talking to me. We were just making small talk. And all of a sudden, the people from the Redskins say, excuse me, Mr. Geronimo, which is what they could call me.
Wow.
Mr. Geronimo, this way, please. And they led me out onto the practice field where the guys were still practicing. And then they put up like a little barricade, and they kept all the TV guys behind this barricade.
There you go.
So as the players came off the field,
right,
I got first dibs on the guys that I wanted to interview.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so it worked out good. We talked to a bunch of them, including the very quiet Michael Westbrook.
How did you find Mr. Westbrook to be this season?
I brought him out of a shell.
Ah, very good.
I brought him out of a shell after I thought he was going to beat my ass. The interview started a little shaky,
right?
But then I think it came around okay.
Very good.
It did very, very well. So we had a great time, and thanks to the Redskins for the fabulous access. On the way back, it's at this point that it's hitting me
mm-hmm.
that I'm actually not going to be able to go back home before I come to work. I'm noodling this through as I'm pulling out of Redskins training camp. I'm thinking,
Right.
It's now almost noon. Must be at work by 2:15.
Right.
Broyles' car is at my house.
Means even more time with him.
What that means is not only did we drive back to work today together.
Right.
When the show is over tonight, I get the pleasure of having him in my car for the entire commute back home.
I am sure that you will say, what a day at the end of this day.
We also had one very gay moment that I have to tell you about. We stopped to get food at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Went to get some chicken strips. So he was, of course, in the passenger seat. We went to the drive-thru window. I'm driving. We got going, and he did the mommy thing, where he opened up the bag, and he prepared the food. Then what he would do was, he opened up each individual little packet like a barbecue sauce. He would open it up, and he would actually place it on my knee. That's what he did. Then he would take a napkin,
yep.
And he spread out the napkin, and he would gingerly put that in my lap.
Very thoughtful boy.
Very gay.
Here he comes.
That got him in here.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I know, that's very true, but you've driven with him enough to know.
Yes.
No distractions.
Right.
I had to open head for him.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. If you don't do that, you might end
You're
up
not
like,
here.
You might drive right into the crack.
Oh, come on.
You might drive into the man-made crack.
Big crack.
But it was a very gay moment. And he insisted on pointing out the crack on the way back, too.
Well, why did you make us sing?
There he goes.
Get out of here, Charlie.
You'll be driving home with him tonight.
Why do you want to sleep over tonight?
You know what? And we almost had some fun. Because when you get to a certain point, we almost had some radio fun.
Mm-hmm.
You get to a certain point when you pass all real radio stations.
Right.
You get it in the boondocks.
Yeah, way out in the mountains.
We heard the Trading Post, which was one of those damn tradio shows where, like, old people call them and they go,
"The Trading Post.
I have a..." One guy called and he says, "I have a big metal door. It's 38 by 42. I'd like to sell it for $10. And they go, "Well, what's your phone number?" "My phone number is 1-800-ASK-FOR-ASS. If anybody wants the number." And I'm dying. We listened to the station about 15 minutes.
Was this after the chicken strips with the sauce?
No, this was on the way up.
Okay, very good.
This was on the way up. And I'm dying to call the station. But
right.
The disc jockey is never giving out the number to call. The station in West...
Idiot!
Station in West Virginia. I said to Bruno, "Do you think they have a delay?" He said, "No, probably not. It's a small station."
That's right.
He said, "You are in for a treat,
the Trading Post,
because I am going to call the Trading Post and wait till you hear the fun I have with these people." So the whole way up there, after a half hour, finally the guy gives the phone number.
Right.
But it was right as we were pulling in to Frostburg.
So you couldn't sit and wait to make the call to the Trading Post.
And then by the time we got out of the training camp, they're playing the stupid Rush Limbaugh show on that.
So we didn't even have our great fun. So you do think that... how's the team look this year?
Hey, better.
Better?
And I'm not saying that I would tell you the truth if I thought they suck.
Right.
Better. I'm telling you, I've been to lots of Redskins practices and training camps.
Mm-hmm.
I heard more guys dropping the F-bomb today and dropping the S-bomb training
up there.
Pretty
tough.
Very intense. Very scary. Lots of very mean, scary men playing for the Redskins.
You said that Norv seemed very intense, too?
Norv is pissed. You asked me if I went up and said hello to Norv, and I didn't.
No.
Because Norv was pissed.
Right.
Run in practice, and at one point they got like a big, you know, that whistle that used to blow on the Flintstones, with everybody in the slate place know it's time to go to lunch?
Right.
They got a whistle like that that goes, at 11 o'clock, and the players start running off the field, and all of a sudden you hear from the corner, Norv yelling that he wasn't quite done yet,
right.
So everybody had to put their football stuff back on and come out and do whatever drill he wanted to do.
I wonder if it was like the siren that Wendell gave the G-Man. There was G. Gordon Liddy got a siren. Have you heard about that, the siren from Wendell?
You know, this is something, A-Rod, like a European siren?
If you can find this is worth stealing. I hope if Mr. Liddy won't mind. Yeah. I'll tell you right now. This thing, I don't know where Wendell got this, but this is like World War I issue. And we were doing, we were doing some production before the show. There it is.
Oh, my God. It's not a sound effect.
I want to see how this thing...
It's
really cranking.
Look at this. It's not a sound effect. It's an actual General Electric Company Chicago issue real old-time siren.
And if you really crank it, you know,
like a hand crank civil defense siren. How many people do you think are driving in their cars right now? Like they're looking in the rearview mirror.
Wow.
Wondering if the man's pulling them over. Wacky. Wacky. Oh, that is fantastic.
That is really terrific. You know, that would be something. But, you know, you just say you're heading down the road, lean out the window. Whoa!
Yeah, wouldn't that be great to carry in your car? Oh, my God. Some guy's in a left-hand lane doing 50, and you roll down your window and you lay that baby on him.
That's like the Edward R. Murrow version.
Right.
This is London.
Fantastic.
That is great.
Well, you should ask Mr. Liddy if we could borrow that sometime.
We'd love to.
We get a lot more use out of it than he will.
Of course, absolutely.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello, a couple of calls, and then on with the show. Hello.
Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hello.
Hey, I can make that thing stand out without the siren.
Could you pick up, please?
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
You ready?
Yeah. Not as good as the real thing.
not as good as the real thing.
Very clever boys. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Oh, all right. Now, somebody wanted to do the same thing.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Now, that guy's a musical genius.
I mean it.
Wow.
That guy's good.
Man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Sam
Oh, they're all coming out of the woodwork now.
It's regular Wednesday, everyone.
Hello, Sam.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
How are you doing, Sam?
Oh, I tell you what, Sam Huff is having a great day because he's the greatest linebacker in the NFL.
Greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
That's right. There ain't nobody better than the great Sam Huff.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, all the other linebackers, what's the deal with them, Sam?
They came up with a shoe named the six.
I guess so.
Okay, thank you, Sam.
Okay,
bye.
You know, sometimes he has more.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like the family reunion.
Absolutely.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Yeah, hello there.
Are you speaking some sort of foreign language?
I don't know. Hang up on him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Is that the Charlie Brown teacher?
No, I think he's trying to do a siren.
That's what like. Rude.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Question about your trip to Western Maryland.
Yes.
Did you, just before you got to Frostburg, did you see the little town that has all the church steeples? Nothing but church steeples.
There is a town that you go through. The speed limit in Italy goes from 65 to 40, so watch it. Mm-hmm. Sounds beautiful. Oh, sucks, man.
Why does it suck?
It sucks because it's...
Well, I'm just picturing like a town with church steeples. That strikes me as something that would be very easy on the eye, very nice to look at.
It is an industrial town.
They're all covered with coal dust.
It is an industrial town where you see nothing but a landscape of like the big funnels with smoke pouring out of them from the factories. Mm-hmm. And then off to the right, you see like five church steeples in a row.
About 5 years ago, some local yokel there put up money to have each church steeple have a big spotlight on it at night.
That was actually pointed out to me by noted Jesus person, Charles Broyhill. Charles Loring Broyhill.
Were you anywhere near Burkittsville, Maryland?
Nowhere near. We're going the opposite way as the Blair Witch Project.
Okay, very just curious about that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I need to be cool, guys. Hey, listen, guys, I need to get that Ken Stevens management system. I got a lot of sons, and I need to know how to keep these guys going.
This guy's trying to do a bit to pretend to be our agent.
Okay, absolutely. I got you. All right. Yeah, we'll get that right to you, Don.
A valiant try. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Be cool, guys.
Stay cool.
Stay cool. That's right. Guys. And I'll be back in the office next week.
All right, stay cool. Thank you, Don.
All right.
I just like the effort. Goodbye. No, it was a valiant effort.
It was a true valiant effort.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. You know, we should probably call Ken here at the beginning part of the show just for a follow-up from yesterday's meltdown we had with him.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike. You know what this is? The computer, I swear to God, I'm going to throw it out the window tonight. When the computer shuts down, and as you can see, the computer now shuts down, it says, error, cannot locate network name, login has failed.
Our phones are great.
Don't work. I don't understand how the two are tied in together.
We're in need of a modernization around here.
Hello, Don and Mike.
In case anybody wanted to know.
All right, let's call Kevin.
All right, great.
The problem we have is that, I have what I hope would be a positive update from Detroit.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes. That I've been led to believe that the station in Detroit is going to keep running our show in the midday slot.
Ah!
That is what I understand.
All right.
It's going to be a next day broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take the show and rerun it the following morning, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Very good.
Wow. So, you know, I don't know for sure, but that's what I heard today from a very reliable source.
They will be
rerunning the show on 97.1 in Detroit.
Well, that guy from Detroit that called us yesterday will be pleased to know that.
And the other radio meltdown, we had two meltdowns yesterday on the show, one about Detroit and one about Baltimore, where, as it turns out, Ken Stevens, the general manager, just flat out lied to us about the fact that he was going to be cutting the show off before it was done in Baltimore.
Right.
And we heard, frankly, yesterday, an awful lot of crap.
Because
people love calling it and pile it on.
Yeah, saying that we're going to be cut off five nights a week and all this stuff.
And that some other disc jockey up there was talking about us, and disc jockey has already been ordered not to talk about us.
The disc jockey we hate.
Right. So let's call Ken and see if he has settled any of those issues, just to see what the status is. And, of course, we'll start very pleasantly.
I thought we kept it pleasant yesterday.
I did, too.
You know, Ken's the one that unraveled yesterday.
But even he unraveled in a really funny way, where he was just like,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I really did that.
Okay.
That's the Ken Stevens management face. Yes, hello, darling. This is Don and Mike. May we speak to Ken Stevens, please?
Well, hello, dearest. He's on another line.
Oh, it's so nice to hear that you're still working up there. I'm frankly surprised, but it's good to hear your voice.
I don't know why. You're still working, aren't you?
Another one of the many station employees that loves us.
Absolutely.
I love you dearly.
Would you please tell Ken we are online?
Would you mind holding for a moment?
I would not in the least.
Thank you so very kindly.
You hear the force of civility in this conversation.
This is my favorite.
But I love you. Hold on.
Oh, sure. Sure, you love us, and we love you.
I know, you love me.
Love you. Love you. There's Ballbreaker. Love you.
She is the funniest of all the ones we call.
No.
And, of course, they don't have us on the whole system. You know, they have this beautiful music FM station on the whole system.
The odds are in my favor.
Hey, look, E.
Robert Goulet.
Boom.
That'll
be enough of that.
My boy.
On Monday. Monday we have our next big Elvis is Dead show.
Yes, that's right.
Monday we celebrate the fact that Elvis is still dead with our annual, our semi-annual tribute to Elvis. Today on the show, the Three Girls Show celebrating the birthday of Charlie Stossel, movie man.
That's correct.
And he'll be joined to receive the birthday news by British Chris.
British Chris. The guy's been on the show a couple of times via telephone. I never had the pleasure of meeting him in person.
Yeah, they'll both be coming by, I think, about an hour from now. And it's almost been a challenge that's been put out by the two girls, or three girls, that are coming down today. Remember a couple of weeks ago, the station brought us in a couple of girls to celebrate the ratings.
They did a little show for us.
That was when Buzz put the harness on. And
it was put on me.
And did the very bad thing.
Right.
That we think indirectly led to his blindness.
Could have.
Well, these girls who are coming in today heard that show last week.
They claim that they will put on a better show for Stossel than was done for our ratings.
Wow. And do you know that since we've announced that the second two girls are coming in, the first two girls called back.
They want to rise to the challenge?
They said that they're positive they can top anything that the second two girls do. And on top of that, the Banana Girls called in, the Malibu Twins called. Oh, my God! And they said, forget about the rest. They're the original. They can do the best two-girl show.
Truly amazing.
We'll see. Yes. Hello, we're holding for Kenny.
Okay, one moment.
Thank you, dear.
Oh, man, amazing, great.
So I guess the point of this is, there's going to be lots of two-girl shows on this show in the coming days.
And I know a lot of people will be very disappointed to hear that.
We have these
great. An hour and a half, you say? About an hour?
Less than that, Mike.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
You'll be with you momentarily.
Thank you.
Yay!
Thank you. Hey, have you ever heard some of Ken's best quotes?
You know one thing, I've heard a lot of them.
Now, listen to this one. You ever heard this one before?
You know, I really did that.
And you heard the Ken Stevens management tape? Let me play this for you. You'll probably be interested by these. Listen to this.
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar is now available through audio tape.
No,
Successful management doesn't happen by accident. It happens with solid training.
I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement.
What? Oh, he's on the line.
There are countless safety advances.
She didn't want to have fun. She got nervous hearing the safety of cancer.
I'm excited about protection systems. The name is
I don't know why people are so afraid of that guy.
I
really don't.
You know, I really
did that. Really, did that scare you?
Among the features.
Hey, listen to that.
You know, I really did that.
Transversely mounted.
Where's he at?
Allows
the moon. And all I know is that the receptionist is online, and then 1 second later,
he's gone!
I saw Shatner being interviewed last night on TV. Speaking of Shatner,
yes.
I don't know. If I'm the LAPD, I call him in again.
Yeah.
It was very convenient that he had a little midnight press conference in front of his gate.
That to me, right away. I mean, something like that happens in my life. I don't want to be near a microphone or a camera or anything.
He's all puffy. He comes down to the reporters and he says, listen, the first thing I want to say, I'm very upset. My wife is dead.
Well,
and I'd also like to say that I was in Orange County last night until 9:30. When I came home, she was floating in the pool.
No.
Yeah. Thank you.
And they filed for divorce in October.
Yeah,
right?
I just found
they had recently reconciled, so yeah. They had had some marital
reconciled.
Right. But the autopsy is today.
Oh, really?
We may know something more soon if there's anything to know. And I tell you once again, I think that really even the LAPD, I think what they do is they say, we've ruled out him as a suspect. That makes everybody relax. It keeps everybody around.
Mm-hmm.
Done that before, and they've made arrests later on. Right? Well, I mean, who knows?
So you're saying that you think this is a calculated move by the LAPD?
I think that this is probably the modus operandi for any investigation of this kind, and it has nothing to do with William Shatner at all, and it has everything to do with just standard practice when they have death. I don't think they're going to run right out and say mysterious circumstances, if there are mysterious circumstances, because that would put everybody on alert.
Right. Then why do they come out and have a press conference and say, we're positive one thing. Bill Shatner didn't drown his wife.
Well, he might want to come out and say that so he doesn't flee the country, right, on his spaceship.
They're not the brightest police in the world, though. The LAPD are.
Besides tonight, mostly sunny tomorrow, currently.
Oh, come on, Ken. Hello, Ken. What is the deal?
And now, here's a little something for you from Brandy on Light 102.
Oh, the station's menstruating right now, but listen to this. The station that our show should be on in Detroit.
Oh, here in Baltimore.
Right. Excuse me. What did you say in Detroit?
That's right.
I'm sorry.
So many cities.
I'm so unhappy with so many situations on this show. They just all run together after a while.
Very tough to keep track of all.
Did she not say he's on 101?
She said he's on 01, whatever that means.
Does that mean he's 01 or what? I don't know. Should I call back?
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
all right.
Probably call back. My tapes are burnt.
Oh, the Ken Stevens management tapes.
You know, I agree with that.
Great comeback, Ken.
Good afternoon, WLAF, WJFK.
Baby, you forgot about us.
We need to talk to Kenny.
Oh, no. This is Kim, by the way.
Hi, Kim. Hi, baby.
Yeah, well, but that's okay. We didn't forget, actually. We're tracking him down right this back. Hold on.
All right.
Baby.
That's a ledge.
Baby, please don't make me listen to this awful radio station on hold. Baby.
All right, well, let's hear the rest of the Ken Stevens management tapes commercial again.
Tapes, you'll develop skills in crisis management.
We could identify us in the first place.
Enhanced memory skills.
I don't remember, but that is certainly possible.
And the all-important art of decision-making.
Can I think about it?
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar. Get yours today.
Is it Monday?
And start managing.
Right now, he is blowing into a paper bag, locking the door to his office. You know what's happening. You're going, breathe, Ken, breathe.
I don't want to talk to him.
It's them on the phone, Ken.
This is quite an exercise. You know something? This is not the first time that this little exercise has happened.
Right.
Takes a while. We usually get him, but I mean, it does take a while.
It's a battle of the wills.
usually him running down the hallway.
Ken, not now! He's going to hide himself in the bathroom or something. Locking the stall door behind him. No!
trying to find an extension cord that he can tie around the rafter.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Ken Stevens committed suicide. That would be a happy day.
You know the only thing I wouldn't be happy about that?
What?
If Ken was gone, there'd just be another one to come in after him. A new quantity, and because of them, they're all horrible.
Yeah.
At least we've trained Ken.
Come on. How well have we trained him? Listen to this.
You know, I did it.
Well, you know, we've trained him like the other guy, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't like the unknown. The unknowns, you get Randy Weingarten.
Yeah, but they're not unknown. They're all the same.
You're still holding? Right.
Yeah!
I'm
come
sorry,
on, where is he? Check the bathrooms.
He's down in his car. 6 cigarettes in his mouth. Puffing them all at the same time.
Drinking an open bottle of bourbon. Staring at the barrel of a gun.
I'm trying to find a vein.
Big bottle of pills.
I think he got a big hose going from the exhaust pipe into the back window.
He's pulling a Robert Young right now.
Hello?
Hello?
Ken, there he is.
Hello.
We finally found you.
Oh.
Hi, Ken.
He's not here. He's out right now. Did I bring a message?
We were just wondering, after our conversation yesterday, if you've done any checking into the Baltimore situation, if you have an update for us.
No, it's the same as it was yesterday. I mean, what In what way?
Well, we heard after we talked to you that we were being preempted at 7 p.m. five nights a week. Is that true?
That's true. During football season.
Five nights a week?
Was there an echo back there? Yeah.
We also heard that you were maybe going to rectify that situation.
We heard that you had been offering a wonderful solution to that. Five nights a week, Ken.
That's horrible.
Christ. Five nights a week?
It was the money. Like I told you yesterday, it was an offer I couldn't refuse.
Wait, our show doesn't generate enough revenue for you?
No. I mean, yes, but I could get the same amount of revenue I get from your show, plus a whole bunch more.
Five nights a week, and you're screwing us up there. No, come on, really. I'm being serious with you. I'm not doing a show now. I mean, I am, but I'm not.
I understand.
You're screwing us up there. Five nights a week?
We really thought it was a joke when a listener called yesterday and said five nights a week, and we thought it was
And
like
furthermore, we heard that douchebag Stan the Fan is going on the air bragging about
it. So this isn't a coach's show, then.
It has nothing to do with Stan the Fan. Stan the Fan is not on these shows.
He's not.
I don't know where you got that information. But...
Well, somebody called us and said, well, listen, the same person that told us, and this is like, that's where we find everything out is from listeners. The same person that told us we're being screwed five nights a week told us that Stan the Fan has been screaming about this, saying how great it is that we're being preempted.
I doubt that. I think we worked out, believe me, Stan the Fan is not looking to fight with you.
But listen, right? Okay, that aside, is he hosting any of these programs?
No. The only thing that I know of that Stan the Fan does that this guy might be thinking is there's a Monday night show that's always been on.
At 7:30?
Yeah, at 7:30.
But now what? That show's going to be on at 7?
No, the coach comes on at 7. The coach of the Baltimore Ravens does a show at 7, hosted by somebody else.
So you're telling me that, and we went through this yesterday, just briefly recap, we had a meeting where you told me this wouldn't happen, then yesterday you told us it would only happen on Monday and Tuesday, now you're saying it's going to happen Monday through Friday.
No, here's the deal. The original proposal was that the show runs, that the Ravens show would run on Ravens shows, would run Monday and Tuesday at 5:30 or 6:30, whatever they requested. You turned that down,
right?
My understanding was, and you corrected me yesterday, but my understanding was that you had said, but I understand your need to do this for the money. If you need to, you can leave at the 7 p.m. break.
I never said that to you, though.
Well, I'm telling you that's what I thought you said. Okay? This is what I remember. The next thing was I told you that it probably wouldn't happen then because they wouldn't do the deal without that kind of a start.
And five nights a week? Five?
The answer, the trade-off was, okay, we'll do the deal, but if you give us the other 3 days of the week, we'll take the later start time. And I made that deal.
Okay, then again, in all of this, you know, where was the common courtesy just to tell us that this was going on?
I forgot. I mean, it wasn't not courtesy. It was, I forgot.
Come on, really, seriously. No, you didn't forget.
I forgot.
No, you didn't forget.
Come on.
You knew we'd be pissed about this. You know that this goes against everything.
Because I would have told you I was doing it anyway, and no matter how pissed you were, not the issue. I forgot.
Did it ever, and I understand money is the number one issue here, but don't you think that maybe when we, you know, we routinely go till 7:30 Monday through Friday. It's one thing, and even one or two nights is not good, but five nights, it comes down to an issue of listenership for this program.
Michael, it comes down to what I've and that is that there are some radio stations that financially cannot afford to carry your show past 7 o'clock, and this is one of them. Some other affiliates.
But this is a radio station.
Programming that runs starting at 7 if they can't preempt.
Correct, but this is a radio station that's owned by our company, and it's a radio station that, as far as I know, you know, our programming is being given to them, like, as a favor.
No, this is an affiliate of the network, just like anybody else.
Oh, really?
And we have an issue that at 7 o'clock we have an opportunity to take some very important and very highly paid programming, and we need to do that.
So you're screwing us. Well, what happened to the idea of running this important hour of programming earlier in the day when you have an available hour?
I don't know that idea. That idea was never discussed.
Okay, that idea,
that's Jeremy's idea.
That idea was discussed with us yesterday. That perhaps you could run this important piece of programming earlier in the day.
So, you know,
it'd be a little hard since it's an on-premise event on two of those days.
You know, I want to make sure that I'm clear on a few things here. Okay. You say it's the coach's show. Is the coach of the Ravens? Wait a minute.
No, the coach of the Ravens is on one day a week.
One day a week. Right. So this is basically another. What is the show that's coming in at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday or Tuesday through Friday?
It's an hour talk show about. Specifically dedicated to Baltimore Ravens football.
Then why, can I ask a question? Just one question here.
Christ,
if it's not the coach and you're not dealing with the coach's schedule, why would it be so difficult to bump that for one 30-minute segment to, you know, when we're on
a roll? To move it to 7:30.
Why is that 7:30 to 8:30? Is that an impossible situation?
Yes, it's a package.
I don't get it.
It's a package deal that I've made with the team. To have the coach, players, and 1 hour a night where people can talk Baltimore Ravens football on WJFK.
The 7:30 to 8:30 be a 1 hour package too.
Would it be
a deal breaker?
What's that?
For that show?
Why? Yeah. What's?
It would be a deal breaker for the team?
Yeah, but you know.
You mean you would lose the rights, the Baltimore Ravens, if you didn't give them 7 to 7:30?
I can't talk to you anymore about negotiations. That's enough. You know, the idea is that's a deal that we made. You know, we are the Baltimore Ravens station here in Baltimore, and that's the deal.
Well, that just stinks on ice, man. I mean, that really, really stinks on ice, and that stinks on ice because what you're doing to our show in Baltimore and the personal relationship that we may have had going there.
So everybody, when we get on a roll on something, one of the pleasures that we've always had with Washington and with Baltimore.
How are we supposed to get ahead there? You know, you and I were just discussing this the other day about the ratings in Baltimore. They're finally making an upswing. But we were saying, you know, because we're on this crappy AM station, that we may never be able to climb that mountain. How are we going to climb that mountain now?
3 minutes after 7, the ratings that you have in Baltimore, which keep getting better and better, are between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. That's all that counts.
Right. But the show goes past that.
Right.
And you've always said that this show would be a priority. You've always said that.
I told you it still is a priority, but these radio stations need to make some money. You can't walk away from huge opportunities like that. You just can't.
Oh. That's sufficient. You know, I just wish you would have told me. That's all.
Well, that I apologize for. I mean, I never got back to you on it after that first meeting. That is my fault.
And then after the football season, what?
Goes back to regular to regular programming.
Football season runs until January, so.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen between now and January?
Yeah. And there's absolutely no way at all at this point that things might be able to be modified?
No, I don't know that.
All right, hold on now, Ken. Of course, some listeners have questions for you.
Yes. Let's go to Rich in Baltimore. Hello, Rich.
God damn it, Ken.
All right, don't scream at him. Just tell him something.
It's Stan the Fan. I listened to it yesterday and the day before. It is Stan the Fan. They simulcast the show on LIF. They simulcast the football games on LIF. Why don't they just put you on LIF and get this over with?
Well, hold on. Don't get the two issues mixed up. Is Stan the Fan on this show at 7?
Yes.
The only show that Stan the Fan is on is something that goes on Monday night.
The music for Stan the Fan starts, and I turn my radio off, and I'm really pissed.
Now, you said it's only Monday night that Stan the Fan is on?
Yeah, the same show that they always did on Monday night is they continue to do on Monday night.
And this is another, and the show we're talking about Tuesday through Friday is not a coach's show. It's just basically a sports talk show.
Yeah, with players and coaches. Well, there are coaches and sometimes the head coach supplied by the Baltimore Ravens.
And Stan the Fan.
No. Stan the Fan is on at 10 o'clock at night or something like that.
Are you telling him to shut his big mouth about us? Please.
I promise you that Stan the Fan has never mentioned your name.
Oh.
Can I tell you something? Here's the deal. If Stan the Fan mentioned your name, especially in a negative way. I mean, I can't say he didn't do a promo. But if Stan the Fan said something negative about Don and Mike, I'll toss him.
Anybody out there got a tape of that? If anybody's got a tape of that, and why you would tape the Stan the Fan show, I don't know. But I'll give you $1,000 if everybody's got a tape of that.
I really will.
Thank you, Rich. Hold on. Ken, one more listener.
Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah, we like that a lot.
Hold on, please.
All right. One more listener wants to talk to you. This is the guy that started us going yesterday on this. Glenn?
Yeah, Greg.
Greg, I'm sorry, Greg.
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Listen, a couple of things. First of all, I'm sorry, I pulled over at a pay phone because I was so angry listening to Ken. A couple of things. First of all, that show on Monday night is not a coach's show. It's the same cruddy show with the jocks from the bar. The second thing is, he's right, it's not Stan the Fan Tuesday through Friday. It is Stan the Fan's producers that they put on the air with taped interviews. Oh. That's all the crap that is.
All right.
The final thing is that you pull the tapes from Stan the Fan show, and I can't remember if it was Wednesday night or Thursday night.
Of last week,
because I called Mikey Rockhead I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, trying to get on the air to tell you guys that this was going to happen starting this week, because I heard him mouthing off about it last week.
Do you remember roughly what he said?
Yeah,
we got Ken on the line right now.
He just said, I have assurances from Ken Stevens, and there's going to be no Don and Mike messing with us. And
listen, Don.
Yeah.
Still a brain surgeon. I'm holding a tape of that night's show. If he hears the word Stan the Fan in here, I'll eat the damn thing.
Okay, wait. You mean you can hear the words Don and Mike, you mean?
Don and Mike.
Right. Okay, yeah. Brain surgeon. Ken says he's holding a tape of the show right now.
Oh, well, I don't know which night he's... If he's holding a tape and your name isn't mentioned and it's the tape I was listening to,
then he edited the tape.
All right.
Hold on, please.
All right, well, listen, Ken.
All right, listen, all that aside, we shouldn't take calls from people. The point of this whole thing is that, you know, we're being taken off at 7 o'clock in Baltimore, you know, for a paid show, and it just stinks.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. You can understand that we're frustrated with that.
Ken?
Yes.
You can understand that, right? That we're frustrated.
Yes, I clearly can hear that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's all about momentum, all that good stuff, and making people that listen to this show feel like they're a part of it, that they're special because they get the whole thing.
I'm just wondering, with all the shows you have on that station, why we have to be the guys that get chopped. The morning guy doesn't get chopped. The midday guy doesn't get chopped. The night guy doesn't get fired. He just gets his shift moved.
And if it's at all possible, you know, I mean, since you're the man, you know, doing all this, it's, you know, that's, we're talking about 30 minutes here. If we could get, you know, the last 30 minutes of our show aired in Baltimore, we'd be very happy.
It'd be just important.
Well, I got to correct you with, you know, there is an end time for all the shows.
Well, no, you've told us that there's not an end time for our show. I'm going on what you've told us.
But you were just talking about the other shows, and I'm telling you there's an end time for every show.
But you've always said to us that our show goes until whenever.
As long as I could do that, I did that. And when I can do that again, I'll go back to doing that.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right, well, thank you for talking to us.
You're welcome.
Goodbye. What can I say, man?
Yeah, they brought him a suitcase full of money to run this show. That's it. That's the bottom line.
You know what's great? That's real, ladies and gentlemen. That is the way it really, really works.
He's a bastard, man. What are you going to do?
I'm only hoping for one thing, though. I don't think we should be relentless in this. If that guy, Stan the Fan, was talking about us...
Yeah, let's get a tape of it, man.
You heard it. He's on tape saying that's it. He's tossed.
Let's get a tape of it.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I just hate being screwed by Ken, who should be the one guy in this company... You know, who should be the guy for this show? He should be the one guy in
the
company for the show.
He should.
He should. And he's not.
He's not.
And once again, we've had it proven to us that he's not.
Sure.
Hello.
Well, you know...
No surprise here.
The one thing that's left out is he doesn't even care about the listeners that do listen to it.
No.
And as I've said to Mikey, you're at the top of the roller coaster. You're about to go for that last ride, and he's turning it off. You know, he's turning it off. And last night at 7 o'clock, I was hoping it wasn't going to happen. Sure enough... It happened. And as far as last Wednesday, he was mouthing off. Those guys were...
Listen, if anybody's got a tape of that, I'm serious. I'll give you $1,000 of my own money because it'll mean that douchebag gets fired.
Well, I'll be running the tape every...
No, he won't say it now because now he's going to be scared.
Right.
Okay. We need the tape of him doing it last week.
That's
what we need. We need the tape today. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, take care.
All right. So you see the horror we deal with every day?
That's a wonderful example of a conversation that you would hear
off air as well as on air. That was
that's exactly how it would play out in the office.
That's the deal, man. That is the deal.
Exactly how.
Absolutely. Ah, very frustrating.
What a son of a.
Mm-hmm.
What a son of a he is. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, who's this?
This is Don and Mike. Who's this?
This is Heather. I'm calling from Aldworth.
Yes, hello, Heather, baby.
Oh, how are you doing?
Oh, hey.
God, you guys are
kidding? Are you kidding? It's a banner day for us. We just found once again that Ken Stevens, our general manager, is screwing us.
Peachy keen.
Well, you know, I don't understand. I mean, I've only been listening to you guys for a couple years. You know, because that's how long I've lived out here. And I know that you guys have a real problem with your cell being cut off.
Yeah. Right.
So,
you're very perceptive, Heather.
Well, okay, then. Let's not do that. No, I just don't understand how come that didn't come up in the argument with Ken. I mean, he should know that. He works with you guys.
Of course he knows.
So.
He knows that that's the whole point with Ken. Ken is afraid of confrontation. I had a meeting with Ken about syndication on Monday, and Ken is lying when he says he forgot.
Well, of course he's lying. I mean, and I was actually wondering, what nationality is he? Because he sounded like he was from another country, you know?
He is from Uranus.
That is where he is from.
We appreciate the sentiment, Heather. Thank you.
I think she was on our side in that.
I think
all national shows need an advocate. They need somebody who's going to be an advocate, and it's things like this that just water that down for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating. It's very difficult. You know something, though, through all of that? You know, bottom line, money considerations, we're realists. We know what it's all about, but I'll tell you this right now. If he had told you,
you know what?
Initially, there would have been argument.
But I would have gone along with it.
Look, I'm the boss. That's the way it's got to be.
I would have compromised. The whole point of this is what I just said. We had a meeting on Monday. He didn't forget.
Right.
He just didn't have the balls to tell me. And then it's like a game of chicken where he doesn't think that it'll play out in this arena.
Right.
He would be comfortable with that same conversation me and Mike just had with him, having it in his office.
Right.
So that nobody would know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but either way, whether it happens here or happens in the office, that's a decision he's made. I don't know. Frankly, I don't know what we can do about it. I really don't.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating.
And I feel bad because, you know, especially with the relationship we've had with the city of Baltimore now, with the,
when you think of the Las Vegas style shows we do up there, the response we get up there.
Hey, our numbers are good. And yes, he's correct that our time slot is only rated from 3 until 7.
That's right.
But why don't you ask the sports junkies how they feel about us staying on after 7 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that gives them a nice 7-share lead-in to their show. When you leave us on past our allotted time, all it does is help the next show
absolutely
in line.
Right.
That's all of it. I'm telling you a fact. We got the highest spent time spent listening in the goddamn country. No radio show has listeners that listen as long as people listen to our show. That's a fact.
Yeah, and it's very, very frustrating.
And it does nothing but help the radio station to leave us on.
Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about, if you're talking about bottom line and somebody bringing a suitcase full of money to put a certain show on, that's one issue. When you're talking about ratings, which is a long-term situation, it helps to keep this show on for that extra half hour.
It sure does, man.
Sure does. That's, you know, and that's the decision that has to be made, and obviously you heard what the decision was.
All right. Thanks again, Ken.
Money right now, more important than ratings down the road.
Bird in the hand, we're two in the bush. Because you know
the way it's always been.
He'll be able to make his budget.
Right.
He'll make budget for 99. He says, screw 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got us by the nuts. Hell, he's got us to a no-cut contract until 2003 or something
absolutely
like that.
That's the way it is. But, you know, once again, if he'd been up front with that, would have been
not a problem.
Really, a much less severe problem.
Not a problem.
Would have compromised in a heartbeat.
So the only thing we got out of that conversation, if you were paying attention, was that Stan the Fan issue.
If Stan the Fan is bragging about the fact that they're going to hack this show, which they're going to do, obviously, in Baltimore.
Yeah. Then get us the tape.
We'd like to know about it.
Get us the tape. We'll give you $1,000. And Ken said he would fire him. Of course.
Yeah.
He's probably lying about that, too. I mean, like, why would we believe him about one thing and not believe him about the other thing?
You just don't. I don't feel like we have an advocate sometimes. And that's,
I feel like that all the time now.
Yeah, very frustrating.
Oh, please.
It, very demoralizing.
It is, man.
Yeah.
It is, like being kicked in the nads.
Yeah, it really is.
That's just what happened. I know, we have two commercials. Well, screw it.
Frankly, I don't care today.
Let's just take some more calls.
Very good.
Okay? There's lots of commercial-free rocks today. We'll just play an hour of commercials at the end of the show today.
How would you like that, Ken?
Mm-hmm. I think we just ended today with 1 hour of commercials. We'll just go for 4 hours with no commercials, then we'll play all of them all in a row at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. I want to just share my own personal frustration on this thing. I don't care about the money. I don't care about your radio station, for that matter.
but when that when your show gets cut off at 7 o'clock, especially in the middle of a segment, which I think is one of your better segments, is, you know, Buzz, the personal frustration that I individually feel, and I'm sure I represent a lot of people, the personal frustration, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know it is.
We're aware of that. You know, this is like the discussion we had yesterday about the station in Detroit.
Yeah.
These guys that manage radio stations, frankly, they don't care about the people who listen. They really don't. That's very obvious. You know, they don't seem to understand that you've got a personal relationship going with everybody that listens to your radio station.
Right.
Even the people that hate us, as long as they're still listening, I got news for you. They're customers, baby.
Absolutely.
And all those people, even the people that hate you, the people that love you, the people that just tune in for 5 minutes, please, you got to give them what they want.
Right.
The thing is where we're stuck here is I and nobody else is going to stop listening because of this. We're going to listen up till 7 o'clock.
And I hope you do.
Stevens knows that.
I hope you continue
to tell the ratings company that. And, you know, realistically, that is how you measure the relationship you have with your listeners, by the ratings. And what you do is if you're going to bring something into the equation, you put it on somewhere where it will interfere with a show that does not have ratings. You don't let it interfere with a show that has the best ratings. You just don't do that.
And you don't interfere with a show that for God's sake, you know, you blow so much smoke up our ass. You know, you guys are the centerpiece of my radio station. You guys, the whole radio station is built around you. Please, patronizing bull ass.
Well, I got
that's
one
all it is.
Say. Hey, Ken, if you're listening, eat me.
He's not listening.
He's having a big cigar right now. Having a big laugh.
Counting his money.
Sitting back there with the sales manager. They're doing high fives. Yeah, that's right. Show's running every night. Nothing they can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. I had a question, Don. Now that, I guess in light of today's developments or feelings today articulated about Ken, does it mean you'll continue talking with him at the grocery store when you see him?
Of course. I don't trust the son of a bitch. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but I got news for you. It's not like me and Mike can just walk out of here.
No, he's ours. I mean, we're stuck with him. He's stuck with us. That's just the way it works.
He's the guy. You know, do I hate him right now? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Will I talk to him in the grocery store? If I saw him today, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably turn and walk the other way.
Would you stare at the mole still?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Think about it.
You'd buy his tapes, too, wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah. Right, I would buy his management tapes. Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello.
Yeah, didn't you guys say, you said last night you were going to walk if it was after 5 days, if your show was getting cut off for 5 days?
Yeah, and what we have to do is check into our situation. As far as I know, the station in Baltimore does not have the regular agreement
right
with Westwood One.
Yeah, yeah. They have the same situation as with, somebody that we've decided, okay, yeah, you can have this show.
Right. They may be, as a matter of fact, that might just have been a grandfathered deal when we came on WJFK-FM in D.C. where we said to Ken, sure, you can put it on in Baltimore. I don't even think there's anything in writing about that. To be honest, though, I'm going to have to look at the contract first. And if that's the case, yes, we'd like to move the show to another station in Baltimore. Absolutely.
That would be great.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Yeah, see, that's where it gets all junked up,
right?
You know, with contracts and lawyers,
right,
and buyout clauses and all that bull crap in there.
Probably be a lot of stations in Baltimore probably be licking their chops to get filled.
But you don't get it. You know, most disc jockeys come in, they can't wait to leave. Most disc jockeys come in at 1 o'clock and they think, great, in 4 hours I'm going to be in my car getting the hell out of here. We want to stay longer.
Right.
Yeah, we can't find anybody that wants us to stay longer.
I know.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's the same problem that half these goddamn stations that we're on.
Sure.
You know, it's just because it's here, it's Ken. We thought it would be a little different, that's all.
Okay.
End of sermon. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for your support, and we appreciate all the people calling from Baltimore. We really do.
Yeah,
we know
right.
how you feel. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can do about it, and
right.
it's very, very frustrating, and a couple of people articulated exactly what the problem is for listeners, and it sucks.
And I hope you know, maybe in a small way you can relate to this. If you have a boss who's a two-faced, bold-faced liar who lies to your face, maybe you can relate. You know, maybe you could say, hey, you know what? Don and Mike's boss is just as much of a jerk as my boss is. I hope you can relate to that. Because our boss is a jerk on ice. A grade-A jerk.
It's what we live with.
You know, we've been working for the son of a bitch for 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
9 years. You know what that's worth? That's worth nothing, because somebody came up and offered him $20 more for the 7 to 7:30 time slot.
It also indicates to me just how fruitful our new association will be, too.
Oh, God. Don't even want to think about that. Well, you know what's good, Mike?
We've signed nothing.
Absolutely. Right?
Here, here.
Right. We have a gentleman's agreement with Ken right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the gentleman's agreement we had with him about never cutting our show in Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
That's going to be cool.
It's all right. Calm down now.
Everything will be fine.
Feeling good.
We have a three-girl show to look forward to.
That's right. Yay. Feeling strong. And now we have about 35 commercials. So let's do this, and then we'll be back. As Alice Cooper said, welcome to my nightmare.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You don't care about my money.
You know, I have a bit of
definite.
You know, I have a bit of
definite. But if I did, it would be nothing.
You know, I have a bit of
definite.
They complete you. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, on with the show.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Hello.
On with my show.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi there.
Yeah. My name's David. You know, I've been looking for a guy for 4 years now. Don, Mike, Buzz, how you doing?
Great.
Listen, 4 years, and then 2 years ago I was diagnosed with cancer. And this guy expected me to come in to work the next day after I had chemotherapy.
What, you work here?
No, I work down here in Greenville, South Carolina.
I thought you worked here at WJFO.
No.
Yeah, you have a boss like that.
So and I listen to you guys because, you know, after chemotherapy, I feel like crap, and then I turn you guys on, and I feel the greatest in the world. I lost all my hair. It's finally growing back.
All right, so you're doing all right?
I'm doing okay right now, guys. And if it wasn't for you guys out there talking to me every afternoon when I come home from work, I'd go nuts.
You think these guys are the level?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I actually do.
I do.
Well, because, you know, I saw my dad die of cancer, and then I came up, and then they diagnosed me with the same stuff. And I stay down here with my grandfather. He's 90 years old. I'm taking care of him because I'm the only family he's got. And I don't believe you guys to listen to what he has to do.
I don't believe this guy. No offense. He sounds to me like it's a goof call.
I'm not sure.
I'm serious.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just got hearing you guys getting screwed like that. It just reminds me of getting screwed down here. I mean, you know.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, we
God
appreciate
bless you guys.
That. That's the nicest
All right.
thing anybody
God
ever
bless
says.
You guys. You're great.
If this call's on the level, thank you.
Yes, my name is David. I'm down here in Greenville, South Carolina.
All right. Thank you, David.
Don't let your boss get you down.
Yeah. I hope you do okay. God bless you guys.
I'm fine. Thank you. God bless you, David.
Thank you, sir.
Take
I love
care.
You guys to death. I mean, I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We're not going away, man.
You're not. I pray to God every day when I hear you on the radio that you're there for me.
We're not going anywhere. Don't worry about it.
I know that, but, you know, I thank God every day that I hear you.
Well, thank you.
That's nice of you to say that.
You're wonderful, guys.
Thank you.
You give me something to look forward to.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Hang in there.
Thank you, gentlemen. Bye.
All right, I guess I was wrong. I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, you know, it's horrible, isn't it?
I mean, because you're always thinking,
you guys suck.
And then the phone's going to come
back. That's what I was waiting for.
But nobody understands it more than that guy. If he listens that regularly, he knows that. You know, we have to be that way because we've been hurt so many times.
Right.
Hello, John.
The worst thing, you can't do it. You really can't do it. You can't take a compliment like that, which if it is legitimate.
Someone says they have the big C.
And that they, you know, keep on going because they like the show. That is, if it is legitimate, one of the nicest compliments that you can ever possibly
but how
get.
Do we ever know if it's really legitimate?
But if you get all buttery and you're right. sitting there going, man, that is really, and then it's like, yeah, I'm lying, you suck!
Right, it's happened to us before.
Sure, sure has.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Mike. I'd like to express our anger by...
Is this the guy with the gun?
Yeah.
All right, this is a guy who would like to do a 21-gun salute in protest of Ken Stevens.
Really?
Where are you calling from, sir?
Greenville.
Greenville, are you in an area where you can shoot your gun?
Oh, yeah, I'm in my backyard.
I guess in Greenville, that's an area
that's
where
right.
you can shoot your gun.
Okay, go ahead.
Sure, 21
right.
times.
Here goes.
See, once again, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop here.
And I think this is legit again. I think I heard the...
hope this guy didn't hurt himself.
Yeah, just be careful with that gun.
Sounds like he's good with weapons.
What kind of gun do you have there, sir?
Your gun.
Yeah, hey, what kind of gun is that you're trying to use?
It's an SKS. It's It's the gun that was motivated the military to make the AK-47.
So it's basically an assault weapon.
What are you doing with a gun like that? What do you need a gun like that for?
A little self-defense.
Well, self-defense, who do you think is coming after you?
You never know.
You never know. Obviously, you know how to use it real well, too.
Well, my brother loaded it last. He loaded it wrong. Here it goes.
Okay. Christ, you're going to scare me. I swear to God.
Hey, wait, can I ask you a question?
Sir?
Yes, sir?
Hello?
He's trying to load his gun, Mike.
Hey, buddy? Hey, you?
There he goes.
Did he shoot it?
I think he did. I think so.
Hello?
Hello?
Reloading.
This idiot's really shooting a gun.
You know, I'm hoping he's not, like, shooting live rounds into a residential area. Bullets do come down.
They fall. They hurt people.
I mean, if he's out in a rural area, there's no problem. Rob?
Yes, NRA member, Rob Speedway. I am an NRA member. A simple fact is that, remember, bullets come down at the same speed they leave the gun.
Right.
That's simple physics.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Cletus?
Cletus?
Well, this show runs the gamut.
It does.
Just 30 seconds ago, we had a guy professing his love for us.
Right.
Saying that this show is the only thing gets him through cancer.
Yep.
We're screaming at our evil boss 20 minutes ago. And that is the video shooting his gun in the backyard. Sir?
Yeah.
Are you like in a residential area?
No, man. I got 21 acres.
Oh, okay. All right.
Want me to do more? I can heal up real good and we'll go fast this time.
No, you know what? Don't scare me, man. And assault weapons are really bad.
This ain't an assault weapon. This is legal.
It's legal?
Yeah. I ain't bringing my evil one now.
How many rounds did you shoot?
I only shot a couple there. I dropped on my ammo. I ended up with about 11.
He ain't bringing his illegal ones out.
And you are shooting this gun as a protest to Ken Stevens?
Yeah, you want me to shoot all these?
He's got all his ammo. I'm sorry. I don't like guns.
Neither do I.
I like the thought.
I love the thought. The thought that you'd like to fire guns, you know, because you're mad at Ken Stevens.
Right.
The thought was enough for me.
But it's 10 more seconds.
No more shooting.
No, come on, please.
No.
Stop the insanity, please.
Well,
please, for us, please.
And we appreciate your little gun tribute.
Thank you, though.
Hang on 1 second.
No, thank you.
You
knew that was coming. You put it on automatic.
Jesus Christ.
How was that?
Terrifying. Okay,
please don't do it again.
All right, I will.
Okay, thank you.
See you.
There he goes.
He's the NRA.
Yes.
He votes.
What a show, man.
Unbelievable.
All right, one more call. Let's talk to Mike, the TV boy, and see what he's got for us today. Hello, Mike.
This is William Shatner.
Oh, William Shatner, of course, is a sad day for William Shatner, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Did you have anything to do with your wife's drowning?
Huh?
Did you have anything to do with your wife's drowning?
Over the course of the past several months, it has become increasingly clear that the marriage is simply over.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't like that answer, William. William, answer my question directly. Did you or did you not have anything to do with the drowning of your wife?
Jesus Christ, no.
Okay, that's it.
We got the definitive answer.
I'm going to give Mikey Stevens some credit that his last couple of calls have been right. But this one seems to be working out pretty good.
Right on the mark.
So you didn't. You didn't do it.
No.
No, okay, all right. I'm there with you.
Well, I'm relieved to hear that, William.
You say you have proof? What kind of proof?
Oh, no, I don't have any proof. I just said that I thought it was shaky that the cops had a press conference 20 minutes after your wife was discovered, and they said that you weren't a suspect.
We have no proof. You sound a little paranoid, and but you deny any involvement in her death?
I'm telling you now, stay out of my life.
Hey, there's no need for you to get upset.
Don't get angry. What? Did you say Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ.
Don't be upset, William.
What's the answer again, that you had nothing to do with her death?
I'm telling you now, stay out of my life.
We're staying out of your life.
We are just commenting on items in the news.
That's some sort of accusation.
No, it's not an accusation.
It is not.
Do you have any idea how many enemies I have out there?
Many.
Do anything. Say anything to bring me down.
I know there's lots of people out there that hate you, Captain Kirk. Lots of people.
But we're not among those people. We're Kirk lovers.
Yes.
Well, of course we are, and we hope you make it through this difficult time in one piece.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. How is your toupee in all of this?
What? Who?
How is your toupee? Is your toupee all right through all of this?
Huh?
When you jumped in the pool to find your wife, did your toupee come floating to the top?
Jesus Christ, no.
Jesus Christ, no. All right. I'm with you. Well, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the totally innocent of any wrongdoing, Mr. William Shatner.
What else do you have to say besides displaying your ignorance?
I think we've been very fair to you, Mr. Shatner. We allowed you to answer the question. You told us that you were not involved with your wife's death. Is that the truth?
What's that? You got potatoes in your ears, babe?
We don't have potatoes in our ears. Mike asked you a direct question. We said that you weren't involved with your wife's death. Aren't you happy with that?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you're happy, and now you've denied it. We'll do it one more time, just to make it clear. Were you involved with your wife's death?
Jesus Christ, no.
Okay. Thank you. William Shatner, thank you for the exclusive interview.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. And tell Mike the TV boy his job is safe again.
Absolutely.
This was a good call.
Good job, Mike.
It's time to collect my reward.
All right. Hey, yeah, he gets a round of applause for that.
That's good. He's got about five stinkers.
Yep, absolutely.
That's a good one.
Hope happy butt tones right there. Let's clear these lines.
Yeah.
Let's clear these lines after the cancer guy and the guy with the gun and William Shatner.
Wow.
Let's clear them out and take a caller 100 right now.
Very good.
The prize package was selected especially for you. It lies straight ahead of you. The 100th caller at 1-800-636-1067.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
With over 10 years of radio and entertainment experience, John and Mike. Tribute to John Pop right there.
Yes, the great John Pop.
I'm looking in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Look at this picture of Shatner in today's USA Today with his dead wife. Looks a little puffy, doesn't he?
Jesus Christ.
No.
The puffiest.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
No, really. He's the puffiest. And then there's an article about Carney Wilson.
Yes.
You know, we spent all day yesterday trying to get online to watch that surgery.
Right.
And the story says, Carney Wilson fans hoping to catch a live glimpse of the singer's stomach bypass operation found jammed connections Tuesday on a website airing the procedure.
Yeah, technology hasn't improved enough.
Now, we did have a guy call yesterday and say that it wasn't Carney Wilson that was being operated on.
It was a surrogate.
But it says here the surgery was presented like a sports event featuring close-ups of a doctor's stapling Wilson's stomach. Play-by-play commentary, animated diagrams, live and tape video. Wilson's body was covered, but her face was not visible.
Ah, okay. So what it was that little square area underneath the sheet with the with the stuff.
There was so much traffic to that website yesterday that the website says it's rerunning the surgery again today. That same surgery, whoever it was.
Oh, really?
And I also
I'm not even going to try it today.
Yeah, I'll probably overload it again today.
I also read that Carney Wilson had gained like 100 pounds in the last 9 years, and that she'd gotten into the habit of sneaking into the kitchen to eat powdered cake mix out of the box.
Really?
And
That's real bad.
And while you've got your sound effects handy, she used to also snack on Raisin Bran and Half and Half.
You mean just cream?
Right.
Regular cream.
Right. So she poured the half and half over her Raisin Bran?
I guess.
Or just washed down fistfuls of it. I don't know.
That is very Elvis-like, I think.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Raisin Bran and Half and Half, let's not go crazy.
It's not like that's such a real departure from the norm.
And about fat,
I used to Half and Half in cereal when I didn't have anything else.
I swear to God.
People used to eat it that way. That's true. But
There was one time
when
I used half
and half and water when I didn't have any milk for cereal.
What was the ratio of half and half to water?
I don't remember, but I actually did that because we didn't have any milk for the cereal.
I've
used water in cereal, too.
Really?
I cannot eat cereal dry.
Really?
Yeah.
In high school, I earned $5 by drinking a quart of half and half.
But that was purely profit motivated. I told you about this guy, Howard Hoffman, this disc jockey friend of mine, one night we were in Denny's about 3 a.m.
And we bet him $10 that he wouldn't eat a stick of butter.
Right.
And he called the waitress over and said, "My dear, a stick of your finest butter, please." And then without watching, he cut it into four pieces and ate an entire stick of butter in front of
us. Oh, my God.
Yeah, crazy disc jockey.
I bet he was regular.
And you know what? From now on, when people ask me the celebrity I'd most resemble, at least physically, I'm going to say Dennis Franz because I'm reading a story here in the newspaper. Here he is before he lost some weight.
Right.
And here he is after. These are my dimensions exactly. He weighs about 200 pounds, down from 235 plus.
Right.
He's gone from size 48 jacket to a 44. That's exactly what I wear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone from a size 40 to a 36-inch waist. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly my measurement.
There you go.
So that's who I'm going to say. And much like me, Dennis Franz can lose weight and still look fat. I mean, you can tell that he's lost weight, but
absolutely,
just like in my picture, still fat, just not as fat.
I'd also like to say that you are an improvement from the neck up, also on Dennis Franz. He did that with that high protein, low carbohydrate diet that you talk about, Mike.
You mean the one that shut my system down?
Oh, did it shut your system down? The high protein? I didn't know that.
That's the one that I'm on. That's what I lost all the weight on.
That's the Atkins diet. A lot of people having a lot of success.
Is that the diet you're on, the Atkins diet? No carbs. I've been on that diet for a year and a half.
I've tried that diet.
Over 60 pounds.
Tried that diet, and I, there was one very important component of my daily functioning that simply stopped.
Wow.
I'm not the only one that's happened to. Some people can do that, some people can't.
Well, same as me. Same measurements.
Wow.
Me and Dennis Franz, we could change clothes now.
You could be on that show wearing those bad sport coats.
And he could be in the studio wearing this fruity shirt that I'm wearing. That I'm wearing today. And I got lots of comments on this shirt at the Redskins training camp today.
I'm surprised that you wore that. Well, I guess you couldn't wear one of your jerseys. Have you ever worn one of your jerseys to the bar?
No. I'd look so gay wearing a football jersey to go to the Redskins thing.
That was an interesting choice in shirts to wear to be around a bunch of sweaty football players.
It's not a Hawaiian shirt, per se.
No, it's not, and that's why it stands out a little bit.
It is a big dog shirt. You know the big dog logo?
Right.
And it has a bunch of flowers on it.
Are those parrots?
And dogs.
They're just dogs. And
they're big dogs.
Pieces of fruit.
Flowers. Yes. And I got one comment from big sweaty football players about my wardrobe tonight.
Nice shirt, man.
That's what it said. It said a little more than that, too. It said a little bit. I did hear that today. I won't tell you who I heard that from. From a member of your Washington Redskins.
Well, I'm sure he was just being funny.
Hello. Not his light show. Hello.
Hey, caller 100.
Right, that's you. What's your name?
Vernon.
Vernon, where are you from?
Ashburn.
Vern, you are caller 100.
Hey, Vern.
And Vern, you've won the WWF SummerSlam prize pack, courtesy of Media General Cable, top event. WWF SummerSlam live in your home, pay-per-view August 22nd. Call 703-378-8888 now to order. But wait, Vern, there's more. You've qualified for the Big Megillah.
Ooh.
On Friday's episode, we're giving away a trip for two to this very event to Minneapolis to see WWF SummerSlam. Don't miss Jesse the Body Ventura's return to the ring. Order WWF SummerSlam live on pay-per-view August 22nd. This trip is courtesy Media General Cable Top Event in the Squared Circle Club, the official WWF fan club. Please make sure you're listening to Friday's episode, okay?
Hey, you got it, man.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend. Hold on just a second. Talk to Mikey Rockhead. All right, the girls are here. I have a question. Is the star of the show here is Charles Stossel, the movie man, whose birthday we're celebrating. Is he here?
Is Charlie Stossel on premises?
Like to know that.
And is your friend? Yes,
there he is.
Yeah, he ran up to the window. That was not too gay a move.
Stossel?
Yeah.
All right, just bring the guys in first, and then we'll bring the girls in.
Mm-hmm.
Just the guys. All right, here is our movie man, Charlie Stossel.
Hello, Charlie!
Charlie.
Gentlemen.
Making a rare midweek appearance on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, who has asked no less than...
Stripper lights. I've never seen them from Buzz before.
Charlie has asked no less than 500 times. Every time there are naked girls in here, he always says, what about my birthday?
Yep.
What about my birthday?
I...
You haven't asked for it before?
No, I haven't asked. I...
brought up that, hey now.
Is this British Chris?
And of course, this is my friend, British Chris.
Hello, British.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, okay. I thought you were escorting the girls. I came in a moment ago and said you looked a little like Frank Gorshin.
I found him outside and brought him into the studio.
There you go.
Don't you think he looks a little like Phil Collins?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. A little like Phil Collins. A little like Phil Collins meets Michael J. Fox.
Thank you very much.
Wow, man.
He's a shorter Phil Collins, if that's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's a fine-looking man, and we've had you on the show. It's the first time we've had you in here live.
British Chris is the guy that climbed up on my roof to install the antennas.
That's right.
Because I can't get the network from DirecTV anymore.
And he regales you with tales of the offbeat from the world of antenna installments.
As a matter of fact, he called me the other day to get the rest of us to come down here today. And he said, you know, do you want me to bring girls? I said, Chris, don't bring girls. We have girls already.
Yeah, well, that's right. You were talking about two from West Virginia.
That's correct, yeah. Charlie, do you mind the fact that I've invited Chris to join in your celebration today?
How can I mind, Don?
You look like you could be brothers.
They're a good-looking pair, aren't they?
They certainly
Charlie
are.
Charlie Stossel and British Chris?
Yeah, those ladies are lucky today, I'll tell you that right now.
We have a two-girl show. It's not a three-girl show. It's a two-girl show today.
Two?
Sorry, Charlie.
No, Charlie.
I'm joking. It's a joke. It's a joke.
It's a two-girl show.
Oh, fantastic.
It's going to be a wonderful show.
And I think that they need a moment to get the studio together. And also because we played 10 minutes worth of commercials that we have an hour's worth of play.
That's right.
We should do a break.
Of course.
And we will come back, and then we'll have the uninterrupted two-girl show to celebrate the birthday. How old are you, Charlie?
35.
35. British Chris, how old are you?
27.
No, come on. How old are you, British Chris?
40.
40?
40.
40, young chap.
That's right.
And British Chris is getting all kinds of residuals from being associated with the show, right, Chris?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
Free beer tasting the other day. The only beers I paid for, and then they said, we recognize you from somewhere. And I said, do you listen to the Don and Mike show? And he said, yeah, you're British Chris. So that was it. The rest of the beers were free.
There you go. Membership has its privileges.
Absolutely. Charlie, do you get those kind of stuff?
Absolutely not.
All right, well, British Chris, stay cool. Charlie, stay cool. Robbie, escort them back to the green room, please, because I don't want them to see the girls and their apparatus before the show actually starts.
Fantastic.
And these girls brought all kinds of toys and stuff.
Yes, it's going to be quite an exhilarating show. Where are some of those toys?
Really?
Celebrate Charlie's birthday.
Right. You know. That's how Buzz went blind.
That's right.
Right. All right, let's take one phone call.
Yes.
And then we'll do a break.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Very good.
More sadness.
Can't do that. Use this computer now. Can't do that. Kill my human. Serialization computer checkout. Got it. Devious. Can't do that.
Can't do that. Like a Star Trek, they just have bursts and parts of it.
Kill my.
I don't know what that is.
It's like some homemade
thing. I don't know. People are all broken up about this William Shatner thing.
I know.
This is a new record. This is a new record for the body being cold, as far as I'm concerned.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oh, no, we've been faster, man.
This is good.
I tell you what, we wouldn't have gone as fast if it was Marcy.
Ah, that's right.
Because Marcy was kind of well-known.
Well-known for Shatner.
The second Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
This is Shatner number 3.
Right, right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, what is everybody calling him with a wacky tape now? Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
What can we do for you?
You have any SummerSlam tickets?
How old are you?
I'm 18.
What kind of contraption are you talking to us on?
A little cell phone thing.
What is your name?
Peter.
Yeah, Peter, we just gave the tickets away. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, man.
Sorry, buddy.
Man, my little brother's in the hospital. He really wanted those tickets.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Peter?
Oh, yeah.
There's a rather large group that Peter's with.
Yeah. Peter. Hey.
Peter, turn down your radio.
This is Mike. My little brother needs the ticket.
Turn down your radio, kid.
Peter, turn down your radio. This is Mike.
Mike. My little brother needs those tickets.
You know what? This is mom and dad are away. Where are mommy and daddy right now?
We're at work right now.
You're at work. Where are you working, Peter? Oh, they're pool guys. Oh, yeah, like you're in a pool shed right now?
Excuse me?
You're in a pool shed? You're in a pool room?
Hey, this is, we're up in the office.
The office of the pool. Do you have your shirts off?
Huh?
Do you have your shirts off?
Yeah, we're all ripped out here, man.
You're all ripped?
Right.
Now, does it mean that they're all drunk, or does it mean that they're all in fine, muscular shape?
Oh, yeah, all those girls are looking at us. We're just jacked, man. We all bench like 250.
You all bench like 250?
Yeah.
Are any of you supposed to be guarding the pool right now?
Excuse me?
Excuse me. Over.
Very polite.
Roger. Well, please tell your sick brother that we can't give him the tickets.
Excuse me?
Please tell your sick brother. Please tell your sick brother that we can't give him the tickets. What, buddy?
What, buddy?
What, buddy?
Hey, Peter?
Buddy?
Peter?
Excuse me, buddy.
Excuse me?
Buddy?
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 I finally found somebody on my level.
Peter, this is Mike, buddy.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Excuse me?
Excuse me, buddy?
Can't give you the tickets, buddy.
Excuse me, buddy?
Can't give you the tickets, buddy.
Okay, buddy. You have a good day, buddy.
Something's floating in the pool, buddy.
And then he hangs.
All right.
And they're gone.
And they're gone, gone, gone.
All right, that was enough of that.
We'll be back with the three-girl show. Two-girl show after that.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140 KHDK.
So much.
Thank you.
Well, now they're experiencing one another in a triangle.
He sure was good with the play-by-play.
He was into it.
And incidentally, no offense, British Chris, I want to tell you, I don't like many people, but I really do like you. You're a hell of a guy, but you're never going to be on my radio show.
Because
frankly, when this guy calls me to set up an appointment to come to my house to fix my TV,
right.
I swear to God to you, it is a 20-minute conversation at the minimum.
That's where he's good.
And I am hearing stories left and right. I bring a guy on the show, I surround him with naked chicks, and all he says is,
she's rubbing me.
You know,
I talked to British Chris on out in the lobby. He's a very, very nice guy.
Oh, I think he's a sweet guy.
I can see why you like him. He's a very nice guy.
He's no good on this show.
Well, you know, sometimes guys that are good in the living room aren't good on the radio.
He just kind of froze up in here, that's all.
Well, it's pretty easy to freeze up with those women in here.
Not for Johnny Stossel.
No, he seemed to open up, which is...
I've never seen him more alive than he was today.
And verbal, which to me is maybe part of the problem.
Gary.
Hello.
Yes, dear. Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys that was an awesome, awesome show. But if you ever have that on a Monday or Tuesday, and it goes off the air, I'm going to come down there and rip Ken Stevens' sack off and shove it up his tight ass.
Oh, my. Oh, all right.
I want to make sure he's listening.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Boy.
Thank you.
You know, I have a bit of damage.
Yeah, Ken, he sounds concerned.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there, guys.
Hey.
What do I tell the guys that we're going to miss him in Detroit?
We're not going anywhere.
You're back?
We haven't left Detroit. What are you talking about?
No. Miss you when you're gone. That's all. They got these little photos from...
Listen, please. If you want to be up to speed with what's happening with this show, seriously, you have to listen to the whole show. We're going to be on that station. Yeah, we're going to be on that station. We're going to be on the midday slot on that station.
There is a God.
All right, good. Yeah. Okay, thank you, sir.
Guys, thanks a lot. Bye.
Every guy wanted to tell you one funny thing out in the hallway.
Appreciate that.
The two girls are coming down the hallway. I say, so who do I talk to about this bachelor party? And Charlie Broyhill immediately goes, me. It's just like Usher's from behind.
Is he like their pimp?
I don't know. I think he's just controlling all of the... He's the traffic cop for all this stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, I was calling to see if you're going to have that guy, the King, who does all the rock songs in Elvis style.
On Monday's episode, we booked him for Monday's show.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy that sings like the polka versions of Elvis songs?
Oh, absolutely. He's a genius.
Remember, we did a thing on him one day. His name is...
Just the real bad Elvis, or is this the Swedish guy?
Eilert Pilar.
Oh, there we go.
Right, he's from Sweden.
Yeah. No, it's the guy I'm thinking of is the English guy. He does, like, the Nirvana songs.
No,
we didn't book that guy. Hold on, I'll play a tape of the guy we booked for Monday's show.
Not as funny as the guy from Sweden.
For the Elvis is Still Dead show. Here, this is the guy that we're having on Monday's show. This this is the talent.
Won't do about any card or yet. The policeman will have begun to well. The man with the yump do begun to swing. To the heart so yellow, let's run.
Perfect rhythm.
He's the Elvis of Sweden.
Everybody knows that road.
That's the guy. He'll be on the show Monday.
I mean, you got to like it when it turns into Yellow House Rock.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, Don.
All right, goodbye. Thanks for the call. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
That show that you just now had with the two girls?
Yeah, baby.
It was way better last time. Although visually it was better for you, it wasn't the same for us.
Why?
I was ready to stir the soup and I couldn't.
Oh.
You couldn't start. Well, you know why? I bet it was Charlie Stoffel's incessant cackling.
Yeah, I bet it was. What was the main reason, do you think, that you didn't get the same satisfaction out of that show?
The play-by-play wasn't as good as it was last time.
You know, let me tell you, here's the difference. I think, and I don't want to say it's the Stossel factor, but the last time we were completely caught by surprise, and when those girls came in, there was all of this silence, cause, and we were kind of going, oh, yeah, what's going on here?
Yeah, a lot more of it, too.
But now it's just like,
really, well, now they form two perfect triangles.
Well, these girls that came in today, they did all the same tricks.
Yes,
and some extra tricks that the other girls did not do.
Some extra tricks.
Well, You saw it, but I couldn't hear it.
I'm sorry that you were not able to stir your soup to that.
But everyone started some sort of competition now between the companies.
Yeah.
Think
so the girls that you liked better, they'll be back the next time for the next birthday.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
And I'll make sure we don't invite that evil Charlie Stossel down.
To ruin the moment for you.
He'll be very disappointed.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, next time you gotta make it Charlie a two-boy show.
Oh, come on.
Oh, dear.
Come on.
Oh,
come on, Charlie. You know what?
He's all hetero.
That son of a bitch finally left the station today for the first time feeling good about himself.
That's right.
It is the first time he walked out of the studio and felt like a somebody.
Well, he didn't really walk out of the studio.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Skip, man.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi there. Skip with his hard shoes.
Hopscotched out of the
studio. Shoes with big buckles on them. It's Quaker Rose hat.
What a day it's been.
He has to hate us. To lose.
I'm sure.
I mean, he loves us, but he hates us.
He does. He had a good time, and he's very hetero.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Don. I'm like, I don't think Charlie's homo. I really
don't. No, I don't think anybody does.
You know, I really did that.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, what can we do for you? Listen, that is an awful phone. I'm sorry, can't
hear. What does look like?
What? Hello, what?
What does Shiloh look like?
Buzz?
Shiloh, a tall, long, straight, blonde hair, very pretty, drop-dead gorgeous pretty.
Kind of a better-looking young Lonnie Anderson.
And a low-cut dress with a slit up the side. Looks fantastic. Very classy, too.
Thank God that eyesight came back, Buzz.
No, thank God.
Tammy and Shiloh used to both work for Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, both those girls we just had in worked for the other guy.
Shiloh did.
Yeah, Shiloh did.
And Leah did.
Really?
It's apparently an interesting soap opera surrounding, these stars. Shiloh's on one of the tapes that Dr. Feelgood left with us last time.
Really?
Shiloh makes it big?
Yes, that's the one.
Shiloh makes it big.
And then there's Tammy Goes for the Gold.
Right? That's where Tammy goes down to the Olympics, and they find all sorts of adventures. I haven't seen the film, so.
A Buzz Burbank production. Shiloh makes it big. Hello, Don. I get it. Like, Shiloh makes it big. Like, she makes it.
Right.
I get
big
it.
Star.
See in the
lower right-hand corner is a picture of Buzz Burbank with a big megaphone.
Hello,
and a director's beret.
Don and Mike show.
Action.
Hey, what would happen, you think, if you sent one of those pictures to Charlie's ex-wife?
She'd probably get turned on, man.
Absolutely.
She'd get turned on. There was two naked girls kissing each other while Charlie had those big harnesses on.
you guys rule. Thanks, Tom, Mike.
Good old Charlie Stossel. Thank you.
He had a great day, and it was a great birthday for him.
Hello.
And now it's back home to cake and cookies.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Homo Joe here. I hope Charlie Stossel doesn't have lesbian nightmares after that.
Hello, Homo Joe.
How are you, Homo Joe?
I'm just doing fine, guys. How about yourself?
Where are you calling? Are you going mobile today, Homo Joe? Where are you calling from?
I'm mobile. I'm in my car.
Going to have your first doors in water?
Yeah, I'm on the way.
Are you driving in the Homo-mobile?
The Homo-mobile is on the road. Yes, it is.
Do you have a vanity license plate, Homo Joe?
No, I don't, but I do have the gay flag across the back of the car.
You know, you should get, you should apply for Homo Joe. You can have seven letters.
Right. Yes.
H-O-M-O-J-O-E. You should have it, man.
I think I should do that. I have to re-register my car, so maybe that's a good thing to do so I can be well-known like Rob A. I'm the Rob A.
Get a Homo Joe license plate and then get one of those car horns like Rodney Dangerfield has.
Homo Joe here.
Homo Joe here. So next time I get on that show, I can do the Homo Joe mobile.
Sure.
The Homo Joe mobile.
The Homo Joe mobile.
Never drive to Alabama.
Homo Joe, how is your love life? Have you met yourself a new young man in one of your many gay bars?
I have been going to the gay bars, getting lots of drinks at the Homo Joe, but Homo Joe's been going home alone to the dog and the cat. What can I tell you? You know,
I thought you found a new boyfriend.
Well, I was working on it, but we were supposed to meet on Saturday, and it didn't pan out, so...
Did he stand you up? Well, I mean, I guess I should use, I should use a different term. Did he not show up for the date?
And he didn't stand up either.
Oh, God. So you never got it on with him?
No, I did not. I met him outside of one of the gay bars last week and was hoping it would work into something more exciting, but it didn't.
Homo Joe, how long has it been since you've had gay sex?
It's been about a month now since, when David and I broke up, I guess.
You can tell by the tone of his voice.
That's terrible, you know, what can I tell you?
Well,
my birthday was the best thing I ever had, too, by the way.
Now, are you looking at, what's your age range, Joe?
Usually I like younger, like from 36 on up.
36 on up.
Yeah.
All right.
Not older than myself. So maybe we could do a Homo Joe dating game or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
I'd love to do that someday, Homo.
Yeah, right.
But only if you would really want to date the guys, not if you just want to take them out for one of your quickies.
I don't like to date them, Don. I'm not that bad.
Because, Cheryl the Dyke has found true love. You know that.
I met her. As a matter of fact, I went down to meet Cheryl and her new girlfriend, and it was quite a nice couple, by the way.
They seem very happy, and somehow we're just not complete when you're not complete, Joe.
Oh, I know. I need to find love in my life. I feel very empty.
You seem melancholy, and what you really should do is just get out there and try to find that special. So maybe the bars aren't the place to do it. Is there any place where you can go to find today's upscale gay man?
I'll have to think about that. Yeah, there are some places, but they're probably going to get in lots of trouble.
Well, listen, you know how Joe's people are, that they are very promiscuous, and generally they go to bars, and they pick up one of their kind, and then it's back lickety split.
One of their kind.
Back lickety split to bed. I mean, they don't stop at a rest area on I-95 first. I mean, they're very...
Like something about Mary.
Very promiscuous.
I've been invited to a couple sex clubs, and I didn't think that was a venue for Homo Joe to go there and be in one of the...
And I love it when Homo Joe talks about himself in third person.
Homo is out there for Homo Joe. He could go to these places. I, for one, applaud the restraint.
Yeah.
I applaud the restraint, Joe.
Oh, thank you. I have standards, being connected with you guys. I want to make sure you have a good homosexual representative.
You've not gone to the cat box or one of those other boy toy clubs and picked yourself up at
the cat box.
Yeah,
you've not heard of the cat box?
No, I haven't heard of the cat box.
It's down off M Street.
Really?
Not that I know a lot about it.
It's around the corner from where I live.
The cat box.
I have never heard of the cat box, and I frankly am very disturbed that you have.
I know the address.
It's right off M Street.
I heard the phone.
Oh, 19th and M.
Right, exactly.
Not that I know exactly where it is. It's between M and N Street.
The cat box, you mean down where the strip joints are?
That's right.
Yeah. Really?
That's right. It's a little speakeasy place.
It's a little out of the way place.
Wow.
I think I'd save myself from masquerades. Maybe something might happen there. Who knows?
Hey, you've had luck there before. You've had luck at our shows before.
All right, Homo Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, behave.
All right,
bye.
No, you behave. You behave, please.
I will, bye.
There you go.
Bye. Goodbye.
Oh. Maybe you and Charlie Broy will swing by the cat box on the way home tonight.
The cat box.
We're out of litter.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hello there.
Just want to let you know that guy with a gun in Greenville shot the guy with cancer's dog.
Oh, come on. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, we had a question for Don and Mike.
Yes, we're here. We're ready to believe you. Hello.
All right. We want to know if the rainbow sticker that people are putting on the back of their cars is the gay flag that Homo Joe's talking about.
Yes, I believe so.
Well, that answers the question.
Now, what question? Is this some, like, neighbor of yours that you're going to go down and put a dead chicken on his lawn or something?
No. We just every now and then pass a few going on the highway.
Yes, right.
and your radio's up too loud. I'll meet you at the cat box tonight. we'll discuss it over a pink squirrel.
At the cat box.
At the cat box.
The cat box.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. They run ads.
Really?
Like in the Washington Post weekend section. The cat box. I swear to God.
I've never heard of the cat box.
Read the weekend section.
Really?
And way in the back where they have all the gay personals, they run a little ad.
What are you doing back there?
I'm reading. The cat box. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's right near the gay personals. I'll look for that. Thanks.
Hello. I'm constantly looking at the gay personals. I always look under D, then I look under G. You know, if anybody's writing me a letter.
SWGM. Single white gay male.
Hello. Are you showing your knowledge a little bit?
There you go. All right.
Hello.
Don Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Don Mike, woo!
All right, thank you. Okay, one more call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on. I can't do that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Radio Gods?
Hey.
Hey, guys. Thanks. First off, I got to say thanks for this. You know, you usually got to pay.
Oh, you're all for the two girls show, right?
Yeah, this one, the last one. Now I just flip on the radio on the way home.
All right, good. Glad we can provide a public service for you, sir.
Anyways, I've seen them all. I've seen Shiloh and Tammy, Kristen and Tammy, Kristen and Shiloh, Shiloh and Leah over the past year or so, and I can't believe you guys even compared them. Shiloh and Tammy and all of them don't even compare to Kristen and Tammy.
I don't even know which ones are which. Quite a battle we have going here.
Except myself. That last one you guys had. They're way hotter than the other ones.
Those girls today did a good birthday show for Charlie Stoss.
Oh, no, I like them all. Don't get me wrong.
Well, stay tuned because coming up on the show, we're going to be giving away cans of Fancy Feast and Friskies.
When are they coming on?
See you at the cat box.
All right, goodbye. Listening.
All right, goodbye, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. We'll be back after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
there are so many. Oh, okay. Dildo, vibrator, the motion lotion, cat o' nine tails, fur lined handcuff, harness.
He's got them all.
Let's see. Latex.
Yeah, that's all of them.
And clamps.
And clamps. Keep going, Buzz. Until you absolutely run out.
Flavored underwear. And, man. I guess a video camera. That would wrap up my list.
How many is that?
That's a total of 11 for Mr. Burbank.
11.
11 marital aids.
11. How many different sexual positions can you name? I think you can name 7.
Of the ones I know names for.
7. Yeah, how do you name them?
I mean, there's missionary, but then where do you go from there?
Missionary and doggy. Yeah, a brief description. You don't have to actually have a name. I think 7.
I'll say 5.
8.
Okay, missionary,
mm-hmm.
Doggy style, 69. I just like hearing him say it.
Her on top. This all started with candy, remember? That's 4.
Started innocently enough. Those are the only ones that I know names for, I think. 4. There would 4. Be those 4 that I know names for.
You let me down.
Well, there are others, but I don't know what the names are.
Well, you can describe them. We'll give you points if you describe them.
What are you doing?
Porn stars. I say he can name 8. I think he knows 4. I think 5.
Okay, go, Buzz. Don't let me down. It's been so long. Jamie somebody. I can't think of his name right now.
His name.
Oh, no.
Please. No, but men are allowed. Men are allowed.
I know, but
your first thought at a porn star should not be a boy, though. It should be a girl.
Oh, boy. I used to meet all these people at the video show in Chicago. Vanessa Del Rio. These are all old ones because I don't have any current movies.
That's okay. Don't be so insecure.
All right. Linda Lovelace.
like he's really on a quiz show. Look at him noodling in this room.
I can't think of any others right off the
bat. I can do more than Sprinkle.
It's
Shiloh.
Andy Sprinkle. Shiloh.
Seika. Tammy, the girl that did the Tammy Gets the Big One.
Marilyn Chambers.
Ginger Lynn, Amber Lynn.
Ron Jeremy.
Right, the anal work. Ron Jeremy, Jamie Gillis, John Leslie.
Jamie Gillis, that was the one I was trying to think of.
John the Watt Holmes.
Yeah, okay, all right. Holmes.
It's been so, you know, since the advent of the internet, I don't use the tapes much anymore.
Oh, right.
Okay. All right,
thank you.
All right, down, boys. Thank you. Everyone's a winner on this show.
I agree.
So that was great. Well, please join us for Quiz Show.
We'll be right back after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
But you've got to be 21 to get in. Call 703-848-9476 for directions, and I'll see you there.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas Style Show.
Come get lost in their masquerade.
Don't miss it.
You know, I really did that.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, thank you, Ken.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Radio God, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, buddy, doing great.
Hey, I just wanted to let Buzz know that he missed the two most famous people that he's ever talked about.
Right, who?
Pamela and Tommy Lee.
Well, they're sort of porn stars now, I guess, aren't they?
Well, they would have counted as porn stars,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, because they have a porno movie out.
Showed everything.
Yeah, everybody think of him as troubled rocker Tommy Lee and busty Baywatch babe Pamela Anderson.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike.
It's much like the name game, though. It's easy to call after the fact.
Sure.
And give the names of the porn stars.
A lot of pressure. Hello?
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, you know, you're the only radio show that can make me happy, mad, sad, scared, hungry, horny, and thirsty all at the same time.
Thank you, sir.
Mike?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people get on your case and say the Howard Stern is better than you.
Right.
Howard Stern is king of all media, but you're a radio god. Right. Would you rather be king or a god?
Right. Okay, shut up.
Thank you, though.
He meant well.
He did. I know he did. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
I know you hate digging up old topics, but I have a question about gardening from 2 days ago.
Oh, no, listen, that is a topic we will talk about anytime. You talk about gardening yourself?
Yes. I just have a brief question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the ditch behind the sprinkler, should that be like a putting green?
I think you should let it go a little bit.
So more like the rough?
Behind the sprinkler. You know, I know you're trying very, very hard to, and I think
she's talking about above the sprinkler or behind the...
She's talking about, you know, the bird's nest.
What?
Right. Yeah, I understand. I mean, so we're talking about the to landing strip or not the landing strip.
Right.
Right. And I think you should, you know, let it go. Not, you don't want it to look like Carrot Top's head.
Right.
Okay? But on the other hand, you don't want it to look like Bruce Willis either.
Okay.
I would think that maybe a nice landing strip would be nice.
Okay, thank you for the help. Also, Buzz forgot the most important one in sexual position.
Oh, no, which one?
68.
Oh, yeah, I owe you one.
Yep.
Oh, I owe you one. All right, kids.
All right.
You knew that.
A joke we have.
You knew that.
I never get the Chinese one, you know, toucan shoe.
Right.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
This is scary. Louis Anderson is going to host Family Feud. Yuck.
Oh, that is a true story.
That's right.
That is true. They are redoing the TV show Family Feud with big fat Louis Anderson as the host.
Isn't that pathetic?
You know, when I went out to Las Vegas for that fight, I followed Louis Anderson out of the fight. He was actually, he had an entourage of about three or four people, and all I saw was the back of Louis Anderson's head and a pastier. He was just not looking real healthy.
Show me Skidmark! Yeah, good answer. Show me. I've got to wait for it to reach you.
Yeah, man.
Show me angioplasty! Louis Anderson, hi. You're on.
Okay. Hey, you know, he's not going to be able to do the kissing thing, is he?
No.
Big, like, piece of lettuce on his lip.
You know what else about Louis Anderson is annoying? Besides the fact that he's not funny,
mm-hmm.
He's way too fat, and I don't know why he's in showbiz. Now, whenever you see him on a TV show, he wants to come out and tell you how his dad beat him when he was a kid.
Right? He's very upset, and that's why that cartoon was started, right, for him.
Yes.
It's kind of a release for that. Very weird.
Right. Show me didn't hit him hard enough.
Little Louie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, hello. I'm sorry. I didn't have the button turned on. Hello.
This is Donnell Valentine. Kill my study. Beat me up.
Well, that's the same tape we heard before with
right.
Darnell Valentine.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yep. Well, I lost that caller.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. It happens sometime, and we've... Are they not running around the building, like, trying to fix things here?
I mean, yeah, oh,
Dan was kind of like in a...
You should see the engineers. I would give them credit that at least they appear finally to be concerned about the situation.
Yes, they are.
That when the computer crashes, all of the telephones go dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're. I mean, they are really. You got both guys, Mr. Wendell and Mr. Dan, both on the case today.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey.
Just want to tell you, you guys are the greatest, but the first two girls are better. As far as radio goes.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy surrounding the which girly show is better.
It was easier for us to hear what was going on last time, it seemed like. Well, there was so much commentary.
Well, a lot of that, again, has to be attributed to the Stoffel factor. You know, it's very much like if you had Charles Nelson Reilly in here getting the Supergirl show.
And then, you know, and I don't think either show was as good as anything you could see on any weeknight at the Cat Box.
For sure. You guys are the greatest. Right, thank you. Let you guys know that.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show. But you can't blame Charlie Stoffel, for God's sake.
He was a player. He did everything those girls wanted him to do.
He was finally having a good time. He was finally one of the guys.
Absolutely, for a few seconds.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Can I tell him about something about Louis Anderson?
Well, you're talking to us. What do you want to tell us about Louis Anderson?
I don't know.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yeah, I was wondering if you knew if one of the two fat ladies died.
Yes, got that bulletin already, sir. Thank you.
Yes, I was also wondering if you knew that if you had talked to Champ Bailey yet.
Champ Bailey, the Redskins? I talked to him today at training camp.
Did you know that? Did you let him know that you called him a pussy on after draft?
The first thing I said to Champ Bailey when I interviewed him today up there is I said, Champ, you know that one of the two fat ladies died? And then the next thing I said to him is, Champ, you're a huge pussy.
And then I ran as fast as his legs could carry him.
I thought the Redskins should have taken Ricky Williams. And what are you doing remembering everything I say?
Because I'm a huge Georgia Bulldog and I just wanted to be a man on up to Champ Bailey.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. I will never tell him I called him a pussy. I'll be the biggest Champ Bailey ass kisser there is.
What do you think of that?
This one, he plays well. But if he sucks, I'll be on him, man.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. He should be.
Right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
I'm two-faced. Would you have me any other way?
One of the best villains on Batman.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I could only come up with 13.
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
That's a killer number. I'm disappointed.
Pretty good, though.
No, Buzz, they should have come up with at least 20.
I got 25 beers, Don.
I know you didn't show off.
But then Rob got 25 after me.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
I got a gardening question for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, my wife is, her lawn is very thickly covered, shall we say.
Okay.
And I keep asking her if I can rev up the lawnmower and give her a little trim.
Yes.
And she keeps saying, yeah. But then every time we get ready to do it, she falls asleep. So what should I do? Should I catch her earlier or what?
Where are you calling us from?
Right down past the Thomas Mill.
Is your window rolled down?
No, there was a guy on a motorcycle flying by.
Well, what I would recommend is, get plenty of regular caffeinated Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Keep your wife up.
Okay.
So she doesn't fall asleep.
All right.
And then take the seeds to her.
All right.
It is time to harvest the wool.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
And when the game was over, the coach asked him to tell what it was he was thinking of that made him play so well. Well, my dad was blind, you know, and tonight he passed away. It's the first time that my father's seen me play.
I believe, sad to say, that I know that is the song The Blind Boy in the Bleachers by David Geddes.
Way to go. See, we should have done the music challenge with
and
you.
And that is a tribute, of course, to Buzz, who yesterday online lost his eyesight. And, of course, that was the follow-up to the awful song Run, Joey, Run.
I will tell you right now, if you had not explained that, I would not have known anything about that call. I did not know.
So, run, Joey, run, Joey, run.
Is that...
Daddy, please stop, or something like
that. That's Run, Joey, Run.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
This is Ralph. We're calling from Baltimore.
Right, hi.
Just one little tip in there. That song, of course, written about Joey Ardinger.
Enjoy the show. We'll only be on for 25 more minutes.
I just wanted to go off the subject matter a little bit. I wanted to talk about brothers as though I'm a brother, and our brothers like women with big asses.
Brothers do love women with big asses. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.
And I want to say, I was wanting to know what y'all thought about that.
I don't like a big ass, sir.
Why not?
I don't know. I like a nice, small, shapely ass.
I like a nice, large, nice, shapely ass. That way you can look at it and get something to feel on.
Yeah, that's once again, I think it's all about the bumper. It's all about the bumper, isn't it?
And what's funny, I got a girlfriend, she's white, but she got an ass like a black girl.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you for checking in. I'm glad you're happy.
Good.
Thank you.
All right,
goodbye. Goodbye.
This is John!
Hello, last call, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys since you guys were back on WAVA, and I just want to ask you, I know you guys have been having a lot of problems with JFK and a few of the other things with Westwood One. Just wondering which you guys prefer. Like, I mean, I've been listening to you guys since I got out of the Army for, like, a year now, and I still love the show you guys do, but I...